Welcome to Attending to the Ordinances, Staying in Love with God. I'm Jay Voorhees. This podcast is examining John Wesley's third rule for people seeking after God, to regularly participate in a set of practices that help us grow in our love of God and love of neighbor. This week, we're looking at the place of public worship in the life of faith. Now, I must confess that my early childhood was not spent in the church. It was the 1960s, and my family lived in the middle of the University of Maryland campus. My mom and dad were closet bohemians. Well, my dad actually was pretty open about it. And church was not a part of their lives. There was a lovely Lutheran church down the street from our house that had an outdoor fountain we would visit. We called it the Wishing Well. But that was my only contact with the church. Instead, we worshiped most weekends on the Chesapeake Bay, sitting on a boat with the adults drinking Carling Black Label and us kids running up and down the dock as we went crabbing. My first experience of worship was after my parents divorced and my mother and I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, the buckle of the Bible Belt. That first experience was at a small Nazarene church outside of Nashville, where my uncle, who was a fire and brimstone evangelist, well, he was preaching there. The church was a rectangular brick building with pale green walls, a large pulpit lectern up front, and these fluorescent light tubes that seemed to flicker and throb. The service seemed to go on forever. There was a lot of shouting, and I got a headache from the throbbing lights, and it felt like it was 85 or 90 degrees in that sanctuary. And so when my Uncle Ray started the altar call with, of course, the 85 verses of Just As I Am, I got out of my seat, but I didn't head towards the altar. I headed for the door, went out to the car outside, and threw up in the parking lot. It wasn't exactly the most inspiring experience. Luckily for me, with some time, I encountered worship experiences that helped me to connect to God. In the Baptist church of my youth, I learned to appreciate and understand the depth of traditional hymns and the value of hearing someone teach from the Bible. I spent some time in a church open to charismatic gifts and contemporary music, which was filled with joy and celebration. I worshiped in several churches from the African American tradition, which were filled with passion and a concern for justice. In my United Methodist tradition, I learned to appreciate liturgy and tradition, and later at a monastery in southern Indiana, I connected to the mystery of God through the daily practice of praying the Psalms. In all places and through all sorts of forms, I began to understand that public worship is a necessary part of the faith life. It's a practice that reminds me that God is indeed present when, as Jesus said, two or more are gathered. Worship is an opportunity to seek after God with others who are engaged in the same search. From the earliest days of the church, there has been a recognition that there is something special about gathering together as a community. The church, as we know it, was born when the followers of Jesus were gathered together in one place, and the Holy Spirit showed up. Luke tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that the believers gathered daily in the temple, praising God and showing goodness to all. Worship in the early church was active, and it led others into faith because of the witness of those gathered. Sometime during the past several years, participation in worship has evolved from being an essential faith practice to something that's kind of a nice idea if we don't have a better option. Back in the day when most towns closed up on Sundays, many of us went to worship because there really wasn't anything better to do. But in a 24/7 activity world, there are all sorts of options that can seem much more compelling than gathering with other folks to sing hymns and pray prayers and listen to a preacher drone on about some topic or the other. And trust me, I understand the desire to sleep in on Sunday morning. Sitting around the house in my PJs, reading the Sunday paper and drinking a cup of coffee. The need for rest is real. And for many of us, worship is just another activity which places demands on our already busy lives. And there are many reasons I think that worship has taken a back seat to the other stuff of our world. One is that we live in a media-saturated, information-based world. There used to be a time when one had to visit a church in order to learn about God in an intentional way. That's just where you learned about God. And we were dependent on the Sunday morning sermon to help us better understand the Scriptures. And the pastor was often respected for their knowledge. But of course, these days, we can listen to any number of great sermons, all sorts of great preachers, on any day, at any time, on the internet. And it seems like the need to travel to a specific location, to a specific place, to participate in spiritual things, well, it just doesn't seem like it's necessary anymore. I also believe there's been a shift in modern worship to move participants from being active partners to passive receivers, so that you show up in a room with a bunch of people, but you're not connected to them in any way. Worship for some is about listening to a polished band or an amazing choir and hearing an entertaining sermon from a charismatic leader. But you know, it really doesn't require that much from the participant. And so people church shop for the most entertaining experience. And they confuse high-quality production with spiritual insight. Now, don't get me wrong. Worship needs to be done well. It needs to be done with great care and passion. But the preparation for communal worship, for public worship, goes way beyond that that's done by the choir or the preacher. See, I think good public worship requires that everyone in the room prepare their hearts and minds for the activity ahead, and that they engage in everything that is happening, always looking for the presence of God's Spirit among us. Of course, the very definition of worship itself is often confusing. You know, in more modern churches, worship is often defined as the musical portion of what happens when a church gathers on Sunday morning. It's led by a worship leader and a worship band or a praise band, and it's often a very emotionally charged time of celebration that focuses on the expression of praises to God. And in those churches, the teaching portion of the time together, what we call in more traditional churches the sermon, is somehow seen as different than worship, outside the experience of worship. Now, in more traditional churches like the one I lead, the entire gathering time is understood as worship, with both the leaders and the participants sharing in activities that are directed both to and from God. I would argue that all forms of worship, contemporary, traditional, whatever you want to call them, they all involve what us church folks call liturgy. Liturgy is a word that comes from a Greek word, liturgia, that literally means public working. As some people like to say, it's the work of the people. From our earliest days, the church has understood that our job as people of faith is to come together to carry out the communal work of loving God. And it's an activity that involves everyone in the room, whether they know that they're engaged or not. You know, as I enter the sanctuary of our church, that is, the room where we gather, that's supposed to be this respite from the burdens of life, a sanctuary from the things of life. And as I enter that room, I've come to understand that every person present contributes to the overall experience of worship. I see this every Sunday because I preside over two different worship services. And those worship services are structurally the same. They contain the same elements, but they're very different between the one that happens at 8 a.m. and the one that happens at 10 a.m. You see, different people bring different things to the table. And it's noticeable when some people aren't present. And when new folks come, they bring a new dynamic to worship. They add something to the experience. I've come to learn that every person in the room is essential to the worship of God that morning or evening or whenever the body of Christ gathers. And that appreciation of all, of everybody being important, is, I think, one of the reasons we need public worship now more than ever. We live in a hyper-individualistic world. Public worship is a reminder that we all need one another in our lives. As important, public worship is also a reminder that God values every person in the room, that all are equal and valued in the sight of God. There is no rich or poor, or male or female, or slave or free when we're on our knees at the altar of God. No, in that space, at that time, we are all sinners in need of God's grace and love. And public worship allows us the opportunity to gather together, to thank God for what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. And all are invited to the table. There's one more thing as we think about the call to engage in public worship. You know, we live in a very difficult and divided time. And it seems to me like more and more of us are reeling under the stresses of life. Some of us, it's financial pressures. Others of us are dealing with care for aging parents. Others are struggling with mental health issues. And all of us are kind of going crazy over the political divisions that we face. Life is hard for many of us. And I know many of us feel overwhelmed. Recently, I was reading from the book of Hebrews. And it occurs to me that that writer of that, what we believe is really a sermon to a community, understood the feelings that we experience today very well. He was writing to a community that faced turmoil. He was writing to a community that was going through some troubles, and they were overwhelmed by it. And in the face of all that was before them, he urged them to gather together regularly to encourage one another. You see, engaging in the practice of public worship should be a time to come together with other pilgrims in this life journey to support and encourage one another in our faith and in the struggles of our daily lives. It serves as a means of God's grace in our ability to know that there's a place, a sanctuary from the troubles of this world, and where we can receive the love and support of others. Now, I know. That's an idealistic vision. And I've been to churches where I didn't feel welcomed, where the congregation seemed only interested in their friends and ignored those who were new. Churches are unfortunately filled with broken people who don't always live up to God's expectations. And yet, even so, I still think it's important to participate, to show up. And sometimes that means showing up anyway, in spite of what those people are doing, announcing that you believe that you have a place at the table and they better recognize it too. Sometimes that means finding another place in which you know that you are welcome at the table. But however you do it, know that engaging in the worship of God with other believers helps you grow in your love of God. And it opens you to engaging with others who you might never otherwise know and love. So, there are lots of styles of worship. I love them all. And my hope and prayer is that you will give them a shot as well. And I hope that you will experience something of God that maybe you've never experienced before. I want to thank you for being with me today. And in our next session, we're going to look at what John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, called the ministry of the Word, either read or expounded. What is the Word in our tradition? And why is it so important to hear or talk about it? As always, we're happy to talk more about today's podcast. Feel free to leave your comments on our podcast page or email me at jvoorhees@cityroadchapel.org. And in a plug, if you're looking for a worship experience in Nashville, we'd love to have you join us at City Road Chapel sometime. We're here in Madison, up in the northeast part of town. We worship at 8 and 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And now, may the blessings of God be with you throughout this week, this month, and all the days of your life.